Well, shine your light and let the whole earth see. Amen. That's what it's about. Today is it's a beautiful day out. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day that we get together. And I want to share just a message with you here for just a little bit. I didn't think this was tying into the thriving and surviving. But as I've continued to look at different scriptures and things, and then kind of goes back to that thriving part. And those are online, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago about thriving and surviving. I was at a men's conference yesterday here in town, and one of the things that they were talking about in that was thrive. Not to survive, but to thrive. And I know, this happens to you guys too. Whenever something becomes interesting to you, or a color, or a word, or whatever, it seems like that's all you hear or see for the next weeks or months at times, right? You know, we've said this before. You go out and get a car, and it's like a blue or a red that you've never seen before, and you go, man, there's not too many cars like this. I like that. As soon as you get in, you're driving down the road, about every other car is the same color as yours. And you're going, what happened? I thought I was going to be unique, you know? It's what we focus on. It's what we pay attention to, right? And there's a lot of things in our life that we don't focus on and pay attention to. We just go through living life. And that's what we're to be doing. And so now this thing of thrive and all this, I'm seeing this here and there and whatnot. And this past week, too, going through some scriptures and stuff, I saw the same similarities and all. And it comes to this. My message of today, faith applied helps you thrive. Faith applied helps you thrive. We already know that, don't we? We already know the faith message. A lot of us, you know, that's where our walk began. It's where it does truly begin. It's by faith that we do what? Receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. It's by faith that we understand by his shed blood on the risen King, from the risen King, that the shed blood, it washes our sins away forever. Amen. Now, it's not to say you may not sin or have a misstep after that, but don't you think that same blood that cleansed your sins that you had for the last 30 years, 50 years, whatever of your life, you know, if you misstep or do something and you've sinned again or you've had some kind of, and I'm not talking, sin is sin. Have you talked about somebody recently? Uh-oh, gossip is a sin. Gossip is right up there with murder. Gossip is right up there with adultery. Gossip is gossip, you know. So it just helps us understand, and I'm not trying to beat any of us down because those things happen. But inadvertently when we do that, and here's where the key of it is, it's like with us being spirit-filled, we have God living in us. Amen. 24/7. And so when we do that misstep, when we look at somebody and you go, oh, I just hate that person, well, you just murdered them, Jesus said. That's a sin. So with the Holy Spirit, though, it quickly is there, and he's there quickly to let us know that hurt the Father. And when I know that I've hurt my Father in heaven, I'm not condemned, but I'm convicted to say, I want to get back in the right graces with you, God. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of that word I said. Forgive me for that thought I thought, whatever the case might be, right? It's an ongoing continuation. Because we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's the very most important step of our life, but we have not arrived yet. And I would venture to say, we're probably never going to arrive, wherever that means, arrive in the things of God until we get called home to heaven. Amen? Because you're on this side of heaven in situations that just wear on you, that just beat on you, that just take from you, that just drains from you, that just sometimes causes that light to shine that you had so well maybe years back grow dim. Amen? I've had a dim light at times for the things of God. But thank God that through that conviction and through the Holy Spirit or through reading His Word or through meditating or seeing or listening or something or sitting in a message somewhere or a conference somewhere or something or a song comes on the radio, something happens in your spirit and it brings you back into that point and saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Will He forgive me? Amen. Don't let the enemy sit on your shoulder saying, no, He only forgives you one time, and what you just did is too bad. And no. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie to keep you bound to that particular situation. The devil has nothing better to do and desires nothing better to do than to take the kingdom's kids or those in God's kingdom, and he wants to destroy you and pull you out of that kingdom so that he can probably wag his, oh, there's that, remember Proverbs talking about wagging that finger, where the devil will be wagging, look at God. Yeah, this guy that was so sold out for you, this lady that was so sold out for you, look where they're at now. But the devil doesn't understand, or he's blind to it. He ought to know because he knows scriptures. He knows all these things better than us. But I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And as long as I can keep that connection somehow, some way. And I'm going to tell you, talking about connections, this past week, I've had to jump my car a couple of times. Now here's one time I was jumping another vehicle. And I hooked all the stuff up, you know, right I did. And you have to find the ground on the other one. And I'm grounding all that. And I get back in the vehicle that's got the power. And I'm sitting in it for 3 to 4 or 5 minutes, you know, kind of keeping the engine revved up a little bit for the RPMs to kind of get that juice to go to the other battery. I get out and I go in and I try to start it. And it goes, And then everything's electronic. I thought that thing was possessed. Doors are locking and unlocking. Lights are flashing. The horn's going beep, 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 beep. It's like, my gosh, all I'm trying to do is start this thing. What is going on? And the battery's dead. The battery won't run it, but the battery will make it come to life and look like it's possessed, you know? That's like, take the key out. Everything stops, quiets down. So now, I had a couple adventures with this one this week. So now, I got that, and I go over to the car that I'm trying to boost the battery, and I'm looking, and I take the negative, and I'm doing it on this bolt, you know, and it's like, man, there's no spark. It's just nothing. And I took it, and I touched it on another part of a bolt, and it goes, pssst. You know, you see that? Pssst. I go, all right, juice. Juice is flowing. I looked. What I had spent like 3 to 5 minutes on originally, thinking I was charging the battery, I put it on a bolt that goes into a rubber bushing that protects that metal from the frame. So I thought I had it on the right bolt that got the charge going through the system of a negative, but it was just going to that bolt, got into that rubber, and said, it ain't going to do nothing for you, guy. So, okay, now I thought, okay, that was dumb, Tim. I should have known that. You know, I talk to myself. You guys don't, do you? So then I take it, and then you start tapping. It's like you're looking for, you know, like CPR, like things are pfft. You know, I'm going around on the engine trying to find where I can get a spark. Nothing there, nothing there. There it is. Clamp that baby on. Go back in. Try to get it juiced up, and then I go back, and I open up the other car, and I get in, and it didn't go quite long enough, you know. Then maybe went, So it was giving me hope. Hallelujah. We're making progress. So I go, okay, I'll get back out. Now this thing, you know, then it gets dead. All of a sudden, lights are flashing, doors are horn is honking, honking. I get out. I go, okay, I'll go back and rev up the engine again on the other car. I slam the door, go back in. I rev it up. You know, I'm watching the timer. 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute. Okay, get out. Go over to that car. The door's locked. Now the door's locked. I don't know if my battery's charged up enough because I can't even get in to start it. Now, Now that thing is playing with me. It's like, okay, now try to get in here. I'm out there. This car's running. This car's not. This car's keys are locked in the door, and it's locked, and I'm going, where is another set of keys? And I thought, hi. I was like starting to really get kind of freaked out a little bit. You know, like, you know. I go, okay, be calm, be calm, be calm. So I go, and this is taken. The vehicle is parked in our neighbor's driveway, which isn't in ours because we're having siding work done, and they're using our driveway, and there's stuff. So I'm parking over there. So now I got to get out of my car, go down to the next house, go in. Oh, thank God. Here's the set of keys. Oh, I kind of knew they were there. I was hoping. And there. Anyway, we got the thing started. Well, no. That didn't even start that day. I said, I ain't got time to mess with you. I'm out of here. And it was not until a day or so later. But, see, in our Christian walk at times, our battery runs down. Oh, the cold, the problems, the stress, life, our job, our family, our kids, finances, kids, relations, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of these things, they just wear on you. And if we don't remain connected to the source of power, and we've had messages about that in the past, about hooking up to the power of God and the faith and what faith is. One time I did a message about the faith where, you know, I have faith if I plug in an outlet over there and I turn this switch on, it's going to work. Do you know for sure? No, but I have faith that it is. I mean, it's supposed to be, you know. And it's that whole electrical current and how do you see it? You know, I don't see it. It's here. But in our life, we wear ourselves down. And if we don't wear ourselves down, there's chances are people around us will wear us down. Now, they may not mean to. It's just their life is having a hard time too, okay? But then again, there could be situations to where the devil is working through them to wear you down. I, you know, I'm not going to get very super duper way out there spiritually on these things, but I do know the enemy would like to wear us down too. And if he can't get to you personally, he will find somebody maybe that's close to you or somebody that you will have contact with, and then he will, the enemy, the devil, he will get onto that person, and he'll say, you go and just drain this person down. And all of a sudden, they're at your door, and they're doing this or that, or they're calling you, and blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon, we end up taking on maybe their situation, which wasn't our situation. It's a human nature. We kind of feel that way. And if you're a person that likes to help people, that's really even a worse scenario because you want to do everything you can to help them. So you lay your heart out, don't you guys? You know, those that have health care and home health care and takes care of people, you know, I talk to you ladies and that do that, and it's a drain on you, you know. So many things in our life and things in my life that I have that I do outside the church at times drains on me. But I've always got to get back to that point of where is my source and where does that power come from? Where does that light come from? Where does that strength come from? But from who? God. I think I wonder sometimes if the devil doesn't take somebody that gets saved, salvation, born again, however we want to phrase it, and once that happens, he tries to do all he can to frustrate them. Because they come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is a good relationship. Joy, happiness, a weight's been lifted off of my shoulders. It was good. This week has been good. This day has been good. This month has been good. But then all of a sudden, what happens? Life comes back in. And if that person doesn't stay connected into a place that possibly is the conduit for the power of God, and they get out there on their own, they have less likelihood of maybe being recharged. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be recharged because I have been recharged by God, not in the sanctuary, okay? So I'm not saying you better be here to be charged up by God, because you can be charged up in your car going to work. You can be charged up sitting at home cutting the grass. Why is that? Because God is everywhere. Isn't that great that we serve a God that's not just restricted to like facilities to to where you go, oh, I got to get to that building so I can be get touched by God. No, God is available everywhere and anywhere. But it's talking in his word, he talks about, you know, do not forsake yourself assembling. And it's to get with like-minded people, like-minded faith, so that we can build, encourage, pray, talk, exhort, whatever it is to each and every one. But it's where do you find that source of connection into God? When I hear something from God, and he tells me it's going to be all right, or that he's in control, but yet when I take my eyes of maybe looking up to him, and then I look at the situation at hand, I still see chaos. I still see things disarrayed. I still see sickness. I still see a lack of this or a lack of that. My natural eyes are still seeing that because we're in the natural, aren't we? But in my prayers to God, I was saying, God, I'm coming to you and you're going to take care of this. You are my source. You are my power. You're gonna be there, Lord. And in your word, it tells me how you love me, how you care for me, how you will bless me, how Jesus says this and Jesus says that. It's all good stuff. But right now, my life is not good, but you said it will be, Lord. And I've come to you and I've prayed to you and I'm trusting you. Then you got to flip the switch from the natural of what you're seeing into the switch of faith. You've got to get into that faith level. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 starts the faith walk. It tells you right there. Faith is, we talk about substance. Translations and different ones will use words of substance. It'll say, now faith is the realization. Another translation would say, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And that word, the evidence of things not seen, that word evidence, some translations will say the confidence of things not seen. Are you confident? Even though you don't see it, are you confident that it's there? Are you confident that it is there in front of you and it's coming to you or it's going to drop down on you or whatever the case might be? The evidence is also the conviction. Are you convicted that the things that I don't see, I have that faith. I have that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our walk with God and to follow him is done by what? Faith. Everything we do in the realm of church, of our religion, of our reading and receiving of his word, you know, the church is fine. It's a place that he's put in order. Jesus died for the church and all these things, and it's important. But everything that we do, everything that we come to God with is by faith. When you read your Bible today and you read the stories of the children of Israel, when you read the stories of Jesus, and we'll get into some of those, I'm sure, of touching people and healing them and all, were you there when that took place? Did you physically see those children cross over on dry land? You read it in his word, don't you? How do you receive it by his word? That it actually happened? By faith. I receive it by faith. How God spoke to different individuals and put these informational things in this Bible for us to look at 2,000 plus years after all of these things taking place, and even before, you know, before Christ, all this that took place, it's all recorded here. No, I wasn't there. But you know, my trust and my faith in God, I don't need to be there because of my faith in God. No matter how they try to explain it today in the natural and the scientific and all these realms of trying to disenfranchise people with the faith of God, and oh, that's crazy, and the Jesus, that all, he was just a man, oh, Holy Spirit, that, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't sway me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, his righteousness. I care not what. I don't care. Because it's in me. And until you individually get that faith in you, you cannot. My faith is not going to be a help to you. Now, my testimony and how I share and what God has done in my life and how I was going through something, testimonial times, we find that as an encouragement. Amen? Where what I went through, God was there and he saw me through it, and we go through this whole testimonial thing, and somebody sits out here just like the message of the day. It may only tap into one person really right into their heart. The others, you're whatever. But that message or that testimony hits that one person that's there, and it does a phenomenal thing in their walk with Christ. That is being, showing the light or showing God through that situation into that person. It's by our faith. We just walk this. Didn't Jesus say, doubting Thomas? I always go back to that. I feel so much, say, self-elevated, but I just feel because what Jesus' word said, because Thomas doubted, and he says, oh, you believe now because you've what? Seen the nail prints or the prints in my hands and my feet. No, now you believe. But I like what Jesus said after that. Much more blessed are those that believe and not have seen. So if you believe those things of Jesus, you're much more blessed. Now, whatever that is, what is blessings? What is blessed? We can run through a gamut of probably words about being blessed. Our walk with God and to follow him is done by faith. For a person to thrive with God, it'll take faith. Why? Because life will always have its ups and downs. And so our talk about faith and trying to understand faith is an important part of our Christian, really our Christian heritage, our beginning of our walk. Have you ever tried to tell somebody in your family or a friend about this and they go, how do you believe that? How can you? I have had some people that will actually come times and they'll say, I wish I could believe like you. Isn't that something? And they can, really, if they would just allow the enemy not to create that doubt or that confusion in their mind or their heart. And I would always want to tell them that you, too, can believe like me. It might take time. It might take, let's pray about it. Open their eyes. Open their spiritual eyes. Soften their heart. Lord, whatever, blah, 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 whatever these things do, we just begin to pray that way. We've looked at Hebrews 11:1. That's our beginning of faith as that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amplified says this. Now faith is the assurance. Now faith is the title deed, the confirmation. Anybody ever made a reservation for a motel and it's on six states away? You make the reservation and it's all set to go. You get in your car, you go, you show up, you check in, and guess what? Your room's there. They go, our confirmation is here, Mr. Hartley. Here it is. In the natural, we have confirmations of things. Faith is that confirmation, that title deed of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Do you believe enough in something that you don't see, but you believe it'll be there? Do you trust and believe that God will make a way where there seems to be no way? Do you trust and believe that he will open doors that you need to go through, that he will close doors that you don't need to go through? Amen. The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. There's that point, and all of it is that somebody says, how do you know? You know, and you go, I just what? No. I can't explain it other than I just know. Wow. I wish I had faith like you. I'm no special person. You're no special person. You know, God didn't just select a group of people that has faith. It says in his word that he has set a measure of faith in where? Everybody. But what has the enemy done to try to hide that, destroy that, cover that up? What has happened where you've got to be one of these people that, well, by golly, if I don't see it by my natural eyes, I'm not going to believe it. You will never have a relationship with Christ. You will never trust or believe the things of God's word. Because he doesn't operate in where you can see it now and now have faith. What is it said? Like, once you have faith for something and once that something comes about, you no longer need faith for that. Now it's like, where does my faith go from here, Lord? What's next? What next do I have to have faith in that you're there? So faith is this: to believe, to fully trust, to have confidence, to have assurance, to have reliance, to have conviction. Faith means to both believe and to be faithful to the belief. You've got to believe that you believe. You got to have that faith. My faith, you know what? Here again. Why? Because God loves us. Has anybody ever prayed, Lord, there's scriptures in there about where he will strengthen your faith. He will add to your faith. He will help you in your faith. God loves us. God loves you. All we've got to remember that is he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He cares for me. I'm struggling. I can't deal with this. I'm going to go back to my God, and I'm just going to pray this. And by faith, I'm going to believe he hears it. And by faith, he's going to respond to it. Now, when he responds to it, he may not respond to it what you want. Has anybody ever had that happen? Pray about a situation, and you kind of want to telegraph it to God. Dear Lord, help me with, I don't know, a job, you know. And I want it in a building that's only 2 miles from my home, and I want to do this, and I want... We sometimes get into our prayers to where we get it so finite of what we want. But Jesus says in his times with God, and not his will, but what does God's will have? And that's what it is. Now I know God's will is that we have a blessed life. Amen? That everything's good. Well, if everything is good, why are there some people in our churches, and even maybe some people even here today, that are going through a struggle, that are going through adversity, that are going through problems, that are going through things that they really maybe had nothing to do with, but it just found its way on their path? Because we live in a fallen world. We're the children of God, but we're in a place that has a lot of problems. Amen? This place that we live, it's a wonderful place. America, love it. Wouldn't want to be in another country. we watch, like, say, Wheel of Fortune or something like that in the evenings, and, you know, they go, you've won a trip too. And I tell my wife, if somebody gave me a trip out of this country right now, I wouldn't even go. There's no country out there that I would have to really be thinking long and hard, you know, that I would just pick up and go into some of these other places, because there's so much craziness going on out there, you know? And it's not that I'm walking in fear, but it's like, you know what, Lord? I'm happy right where I'm at. And if somebody's going to give me a trip, send me out to Montana or somewhere out in the sticks where there ain't nobody, you know? I don't need to go to a tourist place. Oh, my goodness. I go to Alaska, you know? Sheesh. Fairbanks. You know, it's just, I don't know, but it's just those things. We're blessed, and it's a wonderful place. Life, where we're at, here in America. But we are in a place that has fallen, and we know that. So these things come along our path, But it's for the child of God that says, I will persevere. I will stand strong. I will endure. I will survive. I will thrive. I will thrive, grow vigorously in the things of God. I will grow vigorously in whatever God has for me, because I'm going to set my sights on that. I'm going to, set my hand to that. Whatever the case might be, I just want to thrive with God. The believer seeks faith to learn to trust God more and more. To be a man or a woman of faith, a great man or a woman of faith and belief. He wants to believe, and when I say he, please put she or us or whatever in it. A great man of faith and belief. He wants to believe, trust, and depend upon God. To grow more and more in believing God. Are you believing God more and more? I'll tell you what I am. As I've grown with him, I'm believing more of him. Amen. As a believer, we should want to be faithful. To be more faithful. And be more to God. We want to get closer to him. We should be loyal. We should be obedient. We should attach ourselves to God. Are you attaching yourself to God? We should want to please God in all that we do. Are you wanting to please God daily? Or only on Sundays? Or only on, three times a week do I really want to please God, and the rest of the time it's my time? To be strong in these things and to have God strong in your life, it means that you need to be connected daily to the source, to the power. Don't hook up to a rubber. Don't hook up to a bolt that's put into rubber that's not going to take the current. We have got to be totally connected to him. That connection, I believe, would be by that of the Holy Spirit. I believe that, I'm just coming to him. I don't have anything. Now I'm off on a tangent here, but I just believe the Holy Spirit is like that jumper cable. That Holy Spirit is inside me. That Spirit is there, and God energizes the Spirit, and the Spirit is in me, and I'm hearing, and I'm talking, and he's charging me up, and I'm responding, and I'm hearing. All of a sudden, where I was weak, all of a sudden I begin to be strong in. Where I was dismayed, where I was feeling down, all of a sudden I begin to feel something swelling up inside of me, that I'm feeling like there's life, there's something happening. Where I was depressed, where I was sad, all of a sudden there's something with a joy coming and rising up within me. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit doing that. It's going to take you in the Word of God. It's going to be you being meditating with God. It might be listening to music of Christian praise and worship, whatever the case might be. But there's those things that all of a sudden you begin to feel recharged. Amen. We talk about that in the Holy Spirit, where we say, fill me up, Lord, as I drain, as I pour myself out into this person's problem, into this person's situation, even into my own personal situations, Lord, as I pour myself into these things. I need to be filled back up with the Holy Spirit. Fill me back up, Lord. It's a continuing filling and refilling of the Holy Spirit. It's the continuing of being connected to and close to God. It's continuing and being always where God wants you to be. It's continuing to be on that path that he has set your feet on. Amen. It's you've got to continue. You've got to commit. You've got to be committed to the things that God has, God did, God wants, God has for you. But the whole thing is, you have got to be committed to him. But how do I commit myself to something that I don't see? Faith. Faith. Well, how do you have that faith? I read his word. I see what he's done. I've seen the past. I've seen people's tremendous stories. I believe it. I go into other situations now, into this today, and somebody tells me a situation they've gone through, and they said, I prayed. I went to church, got laid hands on, or whatever. Things happened, blah, blah, blah. I was at home by myself singing praise and worship, and I got this soreness on my shoulder, and I just felt by the Spirit, it said, just touch your shoulder and claim it healed. And I did that at home in my living room. And the pain's gone. It didn't take the church. It didn't take a televangelist. You know, touch your shoulder. For those that have touched your shoulder, now just send $50. $50 and I'll send you a prayer cloth. Ay, ay, ay. God's healings are free. God will speak to his children. He's spoken to me at times when I've had pulls and strains and different things in my body that I've shared about. And I finally got to the point, I dealt with it for a few days, you know. You know, getting up. But finally got, that's enough. I'm a child of yours, God. You know, I'm going to walk in health. I want to walk pain-free, you know. And that happened to be. And I just began to pray. I just said, Lord, I'm claiming healing. You know, we talk about it. We preach about it. We share it with her. You know, hey, you want some advice? I got some advice for you. Take this advice. You know, do we listen to our own advice? You know, chances are no. But I said, okay, Lord. You finally get to that level of understanding and say, no, Lord, this is enough. Heal it, Lord. Heal it. What do I need to do if I need to do something to help it along? Let me know. Believe it or not, God has showed me those things. Do this. Do that. Stretch it this way. Do it that way. Whatever. I go, okay, Lord, because see, I'm always one with God. I'll say, Lord, I trust you for my total healing, for touching me. For you can do it all. But then I go, but Lord, if there's something that I need to learn out of this, if there's something that I should do, or that, not that I should do, if there's something that you want me to do, let me know. I think it's those times that God could, by his, you know, healing, instantly heal it. But I wonder sometimes God says, okay, Tim, I heard you. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Do this, this, this. And I think he does that sometimes to see, were you really listening? Were you really meaning what you're saying? See, we pray to God, and we say a lot of things. Sometimes we don't really realize what we're saying because we're just, and God hears those things. He says, okay, I heard your prayer. Are you going to hear my response? Now, my response is coming. I have never prayed to God with a thinking or an understanding that a response was not coming. I've always, Lord, I've prayed about it. You've heard it. I still have pain. I still have hurt. I still whatever. But I know you've heard it, and I'm just trusting you for the response and for the healing, for the touch, whatever the case might be. And, you know, we find that, was it in Daniel or something like that? Where they prayed, and finally the angel came through, but he says, the instant you prayed, who heard? God. But God sent his reply when he heard, but the powers in the heavenlies or in the spiritual realm caused it to be kind of delayed by 21 days. 21 days. If that happened back then, don't you think it could happen today? And if the devil can do, if nothing else, if he could at least sideline your prayer response or reply from God to you, if the devil thinks that he could delay it for 21 days, 2 years, 3 months, time is whatever time is. He's thinking, good, because they'll be discouraged, and they'll turn away from God, and then they'll be lost. It's much better to have somebody that's fallen out of the kingdom of God into hell than to have somebody that was already not going to heaven anyway because they were seared and hardened and, you know, they're serving the God of this world already. The devil doesn't need to do anything to them to get them into where he wants them to go. They're there by default. The devil wants to look at those that are kingdom kids, those that are proclaiming the things of God, that he can bring them down, destroy them, cause doubt, cause whatever. And there's that wagging finger. Yeah, God. Yeah, old Tim, he thought, yeah. But it's faith that we all walk these things in and out of. And I am no great man to the point of, I've got it all. I don't think anybody in here has it all. We go through things. But it's to find encouragement. It's to find these things. Now, We won't have time to dig into all of these, but I'm going to go ahead and kind of run through these just by the verses that they're in. In the scriptures, and this was, you know, as I was going through these things and the faith and, okay, faith. Let's look at Matthew 8:10. We'll just look at a few, and then I'll read some out just on my paper here, but it's a well-known story. Oh, it's like, wow. So Matthew 10, this is in Jesus' healing of a centurion's servant. Now, this just kind of goes like, you know, he's entered Capernaum, centurion comes to him in verse 5, and pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully formed, or tormented, formed. Take these glasses off, I gotta read. Dreadfully tormented. Jesus says, I will come to heal him. Now the centurion says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And he goes on, talks about his authority, and as a centurion, he knows what authority is all about. When Jesus heard this in verse 10, he marveled, and he says to those that are around him, wow, I say this to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come and from the east and the west sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out, and it goes on to the darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing. And it gets down to this in 13. Then Jesus says to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So as you believe, so be done it for you. Now, you just begin to follow the chain of some of these things, of the things that Jesus was about. This was a servant, or a centurion, praying for a servant. Could have been, you know, there's, in here it talks about where a person, a mother comes and talking about praying for a child or something and asking for the touch of healing for that person. But the thing that we'll find, Jesus in 8:26, Jesus notices when their faith, well, okay, let's kind of look at this. Hopefully I don't want to rush this through. Okay. 8:10 speaks of great faith. The centurion had great faith. We get into Matthew 8:26, and this is when he's in the boat and the disciples are going across. Jesus will notice great faith, and he will notice little faith. He sees both spectrums of it. So he's kind of chiding those in Matthew 8:26. He notices that when your faith is small, he rebukes the waves and the wind, and he kind of talks to them, where is your faith? Ye of little faith, where is your faith? He notices great faith, and he notices weak faith. I would, in my times with him and all, and things I've prayed about and all, I would hope I would never hear Jesus, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, just speak to me and say, like, Tim, you have such little faith. Where is your faith at? Now here's one, Matthew 9:2. This, and you look at Luke 5:19, but it's talking about he notices a group that has faith. Wouldn't it be awesome to be with a group of people that have faith? All of our faith is like right at like a, ooh, I don't know, 99.9% power or something? I don't know. We all have faith, 100% of faith. Paralytic on a stretcher, he's brought to Jesus. Luke 5:19 will tell you the group that he's with, they couldn't get into where he was at and the room is so crowded. They had such faith that what did they do? They took the guy to the roof and brought him down through the roof. That is faith. Couple of types of faith there. Number one, for the guy on the stretcher to think, like, anybody want to be on a stretcher and have some guys haul you up to a roof? Here. And they didn't have the means back then like we have today, probably, you know. Let's just yank him up there, you know. He notices the faith of a group of people. In Matthew 9:22, it goes on with the woman with the issue of blood for many, many years. 12 years. The thing is, just go through your Bible and look at these areas of instances that Jesus touched people. And generally what he will say, and you'll see it here, your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith brought that healing. Your faith. So did not those people have something connected to that healing? Their faith. They believed so much and trusted Jesus so much. The one was just, I don't even need to be touched by you. Just let me touch your garment. Let me touch your garment and the power will come from that to heal me. My goodness. But Jesus says this, and this is what really was exciting as I started going through this. We won't have time to break it all down here, and you can kind of look at it yourself, and we'll wrap it up here. But you find where it says, your faith has made you whole. Matthew 15:28, Jesus tells the lady, your faith is great. A woman's daughter is healed from being demon-possessed. Demon-possessed, lame, withered hand, blind eyes. Most of those cases you will see where he responds and saying, your faith has made you well. Your faith today is what's going to connect and continue to call forth, even though it doesn't feel good, still there's pain or there's whatever, or there finances, whatever it is that we're into that's causing us some heartache. Trust and believe that you will hear Jesus as the answer comes, and as he finally, that word gets there and that word is responded to and God's will is done, that won't it be great to say or to hear him say, Tim, your faith has made you well. Now, I'm going to tell you this. My God is so powerful that he could heal me without my faith. Really? But it's that connection that he wants with us and him, to where he wants us to believe and understand that I don't need to see the thing there for me to believe the thing will be there. I just trust my God that he's going to provide it. Somewhere out there I can't even see yet, but it's there. I'm claiming it. I'm claiming healing for this. I'm claiming healing for this person. I'm claiming this for that person. I'm for myself, you know. We got to do it for yourself sometimes, really. Lepers. 10 lepers are clean, you know. Your faith. Blind beggar was healed by the faith he had. Do you not think that faith is important? Do you not think that faith applied helps you thrive? Faith applied helps you thrive, grow vigorously in the things, because one thing after another with God, it just keeps building. And pretty soon, I had faith to get me through this. That's behind me now. I don't need that faith and all that's back there. Now I've got another level of faith. Now this comes upon me. Oh, how am I going to work through this? I might have to remember, I'm not saying go back in history, but sometimes it's good to reflect, like, you know, I had a situation back there, but whatever time frame, and God was faithful, and it worked out. Now I've got this, I'm going to work and stand on that same faith, and I believe as we go through things, your faith grows. Your faith thrives. Your faith will help you survive, but then again, get past survival of it to the thriving of it. And again, remember, sometimes it's not the way we call it for God to answer it. And remember, we're in a fallen world. Remember, things are going to happen. Bad things happen to good people. And it's not that God was asleep on the job, but it's like, you know, these things are happening. But my gosh, if these things are going to happen, why not hold on to somebody that can at least give you stability? That at least can help you and strengthen you to get you through those things. You may not understand it. You may never understand it. But get past it to the point that I've got my God and my God has got me and it's going to be okay. Do you believe that? Amen. Okay. I got just one more little thing to read. Hey, Super Bowl is not until what? 5:30. When Jesus says that your faith has made you well, he was saying that your faith, it's really your confidence in him, your confidence in God, has been the means of their situation being changed. Your confidence in him had been the means of your situation being changed. Things were restored to them. Sight, an arm, a hand, being able to walk, being cleansed of demons. Notice it took the power that Christ has to effect the cure, and this power is applied in connection with the person's faith. The faith in itself is not going to be the all-in-all answer. It starts with God. It starts with the healing power of Jesus. But knowing that that power exists is the faith that I've got. I'm going to somehow take that faith and I'm going to connect it to what God has, the power, because I know he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-omnipresent. He's God. Nothing gets past him. Nothing surprises him. We go, oh my, boy, that was a shock. To God, it wasn't a shock. God knew it. Already was going to come into place. But I know that that's the God that I'm serving, and that's the God I'm talking to. That's the God I'm praying to. My faith is here. He says, without faith, it's hard to please me. I'm going to have that faith, and I want to please him, and I'm going to stand on that faith, and it's going to connect with what he has. And that connection is going to take place. Just as faith enables them to receive healing, healing was sometimes not accomplished due to lacks of faith. Matthew 13:58. Salvation comes to a sinner through faith. Salvation comes to all of us by that of faith. Everyone who is saved must believe, but it is the power of Christ that saves. It's what Christ did on the cross. It's what Christ did in the tomb. It's what Christ did when he came out of the tomb. It's what Christ does now, seated at the right hand of God, the Father, interceding for us. Amen? Everyone who is saved must believe, but it is the power of Christ that saves, not the power of faith. But faith is only an instrument. It's the instrument, not the power itself. But it is part of the necessary need that you have to have to receive all the things that God has for you. It's just simple and plain as that. Hallelujah. Faith applied to your situation. Faith applied to your situation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the examples throughout the Word that does show us, Lord, that Jesus spoke so many times about the things that people received from him, through him, whether he was present with the person that was sick, or if he was just passing by, or if he just walked upon them. And even if he touched them, Lord, he would say, "It is your faith that has healed you." It's because we believe what we receive from him. We believe and trust those things, Father. And I don't know and I don't understand, Lord, why sometimes it takes many, many days, weeks, months, years, Lord, for some things to be removed from us, Lord, that are hindering us. But I do believe, Lord, that you've heard the prayers of each one here in this room today over the situations that they've had. And that you've responded. And for whatever is taking place, there's a hindrance for that to reply to come back or for that response. But Lord, I pray for our faith, each one here today, that our faith continue to be built up, that our faith continues to grow, that we continually have that trust and that belief into you, Father. For there are so many more things that each and every one of us, Lord, are to receive and to have from you. Father, for those that are going through financial situations, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would be faithful and, Lord, they would come to you and have faith in your response of how you will provide, and healing, Lord, for their bodies physically, Lord. We know that the word already says, by his stripes we are healed, Lord. So we begin to pray, Lord, oh, Father, manifest this healing in the bodies that need that healing. Father, we think of that maybe as physical needs, Lord. I know there's individuals here, Lord, with situations in their shoulders, their neck, Lord, lower back, arm, whatever it might be, Lord, that I would just pray for that healing to manifest itself now in that body. Lord, we also know that there are even those within the emotions in our minds, Lord, that need healing in those areas, Father, from past hurts, from past situations that seem to just wear on us and wear on us. And it could be many years ago or even decades, Father, and these things still reoccur at times, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just touch and heal those minds right now in the name of Jesus. And that, Father, as we are going through adversities and as we are going through these situations, Lord, that are not good, that we remain faithful to you, faithful to your word, and that we know that you are our God and that you will help us and see us through it. And I know, Lord, it's not my will be done, but it's to your will be done. And I pray, Lord, that we glorify you in the things that we do and say, and as we are touched by you, Lord, that we can share that experience with those around us to bring encouragement. But Lord, as we have walked this out today, let our faith be strong. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.